Good morning. We have an adjusted service today. It's going to be a little bit different, and it's going to be special and just a wonderful time. So if you could turn to Acts chapter 13, please. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. And if you need a sermon title, it's Pray, Listen, Obey, and Send. Okay? Pray, listen, obey, and send. Children and adults in the room, the book of Acts is a wonderful book. Okay? After Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, is a wonderful story of adventure and courage and faith and suffering and persecution and the people of God coming together and the kingdom of God advancing through just difficulty and the church being set ablaze by the Spirit of God and going forth to the nations. So let me read Acts chapter 13, 1 through 4 for us, okay? This is God's word. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, a long friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, who is Apostle Paul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia and from there sailed to Cyprus. Okay. In Acts chapter 7, a very important event occurs, a very sad event. Stephen, one of the first deacons, gets stoned. Thank you, Caleb. He gets stoned and he is martyred. Okay, he's martyred to death by radical Jews at the end of Acts chapter 7. And at the start of Acts chapter 8, it says that there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. So, As a consequence and an aftermath of Stephen being stoned to death, the church is persecuted and it says they are scattered throughout the region, except the apostles. That's what it says. And one of the regions that they scattered to was north, which is called Antioch. Now, fast forward to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11 tells us that some of these scattered Christians started to gather in Antioch. And they started to meet together and preach the gospel and proclaim the gospel to Jews and Gentiles in Acts chapter 11. But Luke, the writer of Luke and Acts, says this in verse 21. The hand of the Lord was with them in Antioch, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. So the Spirit of God was moving to advance the gospel sovereignly through the death of Stephen and the scattering of God's people to the formation of the church in Antioch. And so the church of Jerusalem got wind of this. It's like the mother church, right? It's where the apostles are. They got wind of what was going on in Antioch. They're like, oh my gosh, like we got to send someone there, right? Like we got to cover this down. So the church of Jerusalem gets together, the apostles get together, and they decide to send Apostle Paul and Barnabas up to Antioch. And it says that they stay there with them for a year. Okay? So we can assume that the Christians in Antioch, there are many being saved. The Spirit of God is moving. The church is growing. They're growing in faith. They're growing in love. They're growing in sacrifice. They're growing in living for the Lord. And then we get to Acts chapter 13. Okay? So let me read it again. That's the context. Let me read it again. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers. Barnabas, which was one of the two that was sent, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, who is Apostle Paul. And let's take a look at what they were doing. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them, that he has called them to." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. So in church history, in early church history, this is what we would consider Paul's first missionary journey. So Acts 13 and 14 is Paul and Barnabas going through Cyprus, Lyconia, another Antioch, a different Antioch, and then coming back around at the end of Acts chapter 14. So I just want to spend about 10, 15 more minutes unpacking a little more Acts 13, what we just read, because I believe there are two main points for us. So here are the two points for today, if you're taking notes. Number one, listening to the Spirit and sending. Listening to the Spirit and sending. And then point number two, discerning the Spirit's call and going. So let's talk about the first point, listening to the Spirit and obeying. So I think I have it on the next slide, but I kind of grayed out the other verses, and I just want to focus on this part here, okay? Verse 2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, this is an incredible truth, an incredible promise from God to you, to us as a church, within this simple verse, that if and when God's people and the church devote themselves to prayer, worship, fasting, and seeking God's will, He will speak. Amen? He will. That's a promise. It's a command and a promise. If the church of God is devoting themselves, if we are devoting ourselves to prayer, fasting, worship, and ultimately seeking God, the promise is that He will speak. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this from people or even thought to myself, okay? God, what are you saying? God, why are you silent? God, why are you distant, right? I think we think that sometimes, and then we perceive God to be stingy, and we perceive God to be mute, and we perceive God to be elusive. It's like, you can't, like, hold on, you can't grab Him, right? It's like, what are you saying, God? You're being so mysterious. And perhaps the problem is not God. Perhaps the problem is that we're not seeking God and seeking His voice. It is the promise of God that He speaks. He wants to speak. He loves to speak. He loves to speak to His people. He loves to speak to His children. God has spoken through the Word to His people. And so when the Church of Antioch is coming together to worship, which means to treasure and value Christ above all things, and prayer and fasting, which is longing and desperation, yearning for Him, yearning for His direction, yearning for His voice and His presence and His direction. It says, the Holy Spirit said. So, for us, for Calvary Hill, I think this is two parts here. God, I believe, is calling us to continue to seek and pray and worship and long for the voice of God. And the promise is that He will speak. He will speak to us. We recently crossed our 10-year anniversary as a church in November. And Henry and I and maybe you all have been reflecting deeply in prayer and just asking God, God, what do you want from us, right? What can we learn from what you did in the last 10 years, and where are you taking us the next 10 years? And if there's anything we can learn from the Church of Antioch, is that sending was in the DNA of the church. Sending their best was in the DNA of the church. So I believe God desires that we become a sending church. So I want you to understand how monumental today is. It's that we, through our prayer and devotion, hearing the Spirit of God speak to us, confirming it through the church, are sending. We are obeying together God's call. But it is our greatest privilege to grow in the next 10 years to be a sending church, to send our best. To send our best. Beyond the walls of this school, beyond the walls of Fairfax, to send our best. Okay. And the only way that we can discern that call is to devote ourselves to worship, prayer, fasting, and seeking the Lord. And the promise is that He will speak. He will. So here's how I would summarize that first point, okay? We must devote ourselves to worship, prayer, fasting, and desperately seeking God as a church in order to hear and discern the Holy Spirit's voice. He wants to speak. And when the Spirit speaks, we must obey. Okay, point number two, discerning the Spirit's call and going. Let me read again. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul." So this is God speaking. "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Okay? If you like to write in your Bibles, circle that I. I, the Spirit of God, has called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. So, anyone else here in the future that would receive the call from God to go, to be sent out, we must understand that calling is not a self-call. Okay? Calling is one of the... I personally think calling is one of the most misused, misapplied words in the history of church over the last 2,000 years. So we must understand biblically, right here, Barnabas and Saul did not call themselves. The Spirit of God called them. It's not a self-call, okay? Calling in Scripture is wholly and completely from God, simply put, because He is the only one that has the authority to make that call. So here's a funny analogy, okay? Let's say tomorrow morning, Monday morning, okay? I think school's still in session. Monday morning, I show up to the principal's office at Providence Elementary School. Okay, I've met him, Principal Andrew Pratt. Okay, we're becoming friends. We're in a texting relationship right now, okay? And let's say I show up in his office and I say, "You know, look, Principal Andrew, from this point forward, totally changing the curriculum here, all right? We're going to get rid of math. We're going to get rid of science. You know, we're going to get rid of language arts, history. We're going to increase recess to 4 hours. We're going to increase PE to 2 hours and increase lunch to 2 hours. Make it so," right? That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. Why? Because I don't have the authority to make that call. Nobody has delegated that authority to me to make that decision. So they would probably call the police. They would probably get me kicked out. They would probably have a restraining order, so I'm not allowed to come close to the school, right? Because only certain people have the authority to make certain decisions. When we are tempted into a self-call, you are tempted to make a call that is not your authority. But when Jesus makes the call, what does he say in Matthew 28? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, Jesus Christ. It's his authority. It's his call. It says, for the work to which I, the Holy Spirit, I, God, have called them. And then at the bottom, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, the church was obeying. God was the one that was calling. So for any of those in the future that want to discern a call, it's not a self-call. It's God's call. He has the authority. And here's the good news about that. Because God has the authority, he also has the power and the promise to fulfill and empower all that he commands. So he's not sending you out there helpless. I want your courage and your faith and your assurance to rest on the authority that is given to Jesus Christ in all of heaven and all of earth to call you and thus also to empower you to go. He will provide everything you need. He will not leave you nor forsake you. If God calls you to something, he will not leave you nor forsake you. He will love you. He will be present. He will walk with you. He will provide for you. He will always be faithful because it's his call and he loves his children. That's who God is. So here's how I would summarize the second point. The call to be sent is not a self-call. Only God has all the authority in heaven and earth to call his children to be sent. And with his authority and power also comes the faithfulness of his promises for his beloved children. Okay. So as we continue in our service and as you discern your own call, with the church, from the Spirit of God, there's a full assurance. You can go with courage. If God calls, you can go with courage. You can go with faith because God will be with you. It's his call. All right, let's pray. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, as we continue our service, God, I just pray that God, your Spirit would work amongst us, Lord. Encourage us and strengthen us by your words. That you would, God, also in your faithfulness and true to your promises, God, you would empower them, Lord, with your strength and your courage and your love. That they would abide in you, God, and therefore bear much fruit, Lord, for your kingdom. God, we love you. God, we're honored and privileged, Lord, to be used by you, God. As weak and broken as we are, God, we thank you for that honor. And so, God, would you continue to work amongst us as we continue? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.